Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. The text is the New Testament reading from Philippians chapter 2. We have too many lords around this place. I'm a lord. You're a lord. These guys are lords. The guy sitting behind me is a lord. Now, I know you might not think of yourself as a lord. You don't have land. You don't have titles. You don't have wealth. You don't have votes. You don't have pedigree. You're just maybe a first-year student taking confessions, hermeneutics, worried about summer classes while everybody else is ready to get the heck out of here. Or if you're a fourth-year student, you're still not a lord, right? Because you have no control over what's going to be happening in the next few weeks. You are subject to the Lord Wayne Nullhoff. And Wayne, I don't see him here today, probably is thinking to himself, I'm a lord. You should have been at the faculty forum yesterday. The faculty members know what I'm talking about. I think we scared him away. And the faculty members, of course, have no power around here. We complain about that all the time. Somebody in some office somewhere has all the power. Oh, wait a minute. Now, I know this analogy doesn't kind of work for President Meyer because he really is a lord. He doesn't answer to anybody except, I guess, Diane. But for most of us, most of the time, I suspect that we don't really think we have a problem with seeing ourselves as lords. Because you and I are the low man on the totem pole while there's always somebody else up there. But guess again, you are a lord. You see, a lord is not simply somebody who's at the top of the org chart. A lord is someone who exercises power over someone else of any kind at any time. Let me give you a couple of examples. You are a lord, and this is kind of a simple one, but you are a lord when you get into your car and you start driving home on the highway at 75 instead of 55, because your time is way more important than someone else's safety. You're a lord when you refuse to let that St. Louis driver who's doing 50 in the left-hand lane come over into your lane, because there ain't no way you're gonna let that happen. You're a lord when you get home from a long day here on campus dealing with all the stuff you deal with all day, and then your wife or your husband or your kids ask you for something and you just don't feel like giving them the time. You're a lord when you go to the store or you log into Amazon.com and you make a decision about what you're going to spend your money on, whether it's for yourself or your wife or kids, and put out of mind that hungry person who just doesn't seem to need anything. You see, every time you make a decision that impacts someone else, you are acting like a lord. And even as Dr. Arend has been reminding us for a few years now, every time we make a decision that affects all creatures, all creation, in our roles as those who have dominion, that's the Latin word dominus for lord, by the way, we are acting as lords. Now, it won't surprise anyone in this room to remember that Luther had understood this. In his 1520 treatise, The Freedom of a Christian, he reminded us of this teaching of the scriptures that a Christian is a perfectly free lord, subject to no one. That's you. You are perfectly free in Christ. No one can require anything of you. No one can demand anything of you. You can do anything. You are a lord. The question is, what kind of lord are you? That's what the apostle is getting at in our text from today in Philippians chapter 2. Philippi is Paul's favorite church. When you read the book to the Philippians, it's all full of happiness and rejoicing, none of the yelling and growling that he does in the other letters. But even in this congregation of the baptized, there are people who are acting like lords, people who are seeking after their own interests, people who are acting in selfish conceit, he tells us in chapter 2. People who thought that they were free in Christ for their benefit and not for the benefit of others. Sound a little bit familiar, right? And so to these baptized lords, he talks about another Lord, a Lord who goes by the name of Jesus Christ. Now, I know we chop out verses 5 to 11, this hymn of Christ, and marvel in its beautiful Christology, in its exaltation of what Jesus has done for us and the crowning glory of what he's done for us in his death and resurrection. But the reason Paul brings up this Jesus is to make a comparison between the kind of Lord that we tend to be and the kind of Lord that Jesus was. And so what did this Lord do? This one who was the visible manifestation of God, God himself. What did this Lord do? He did not consider this being equal to God a thing to be grasped, to held on to, but he made himself nothing, taking the form of a slave. This Lord became obedient unto death. And not just any kind of death, he was executed, humiliated, hung up on a cross for all to see, shamed, and died for you and for me. That's the kind of Lord that we have. And because of this, see, those are the key words, because of this, God has exalted him to the highest place, given him the name above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. This is the life to which we are called to live as lords. Today, we celebrate a little bit in advance Palm Sunday. Over the next week, we are going to follow this Lord through various memorable, important events that are all so familiar to us. We just reenacted one of them with his entrance into Jerusalem, where he was proclaimed as king by the people, but people who really didn't understand what being a king in this kingdom meant. A few days later, we'll hear about his death on this cross, where the written notice above his head will proclaim him as king. But that notice was written by another ruler, a procurator, who had no idea what being a king was all about. And a few days after that, we'll hear about the empty tomb, his being raised to the right hand of the Father, crowned with glory and splendor above all creation, and who will come again. We will follow this Lord as he suffers and dies for us. And as we reflect on this once again in our lives as church, his call comes out to us once again. If anyone would follow after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. May God bless us to live as lords, serving one another in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.